Well, good to be with you this morning. Pastor Mike is preaching over in Remsen. I don't know if you can believe it, but it's been a year now that Will and Andy Dole left to plant the church over in Remsen, and it's great to hear. I just keep hearing good things about what God's doing through that little group there, starting to grow a little bit. And so Pastor Mike's kind of preaching there to commemorate a year. This morning, we're going to be in the book of Galatians, and our Wednesday night service, I usually preach. We're walking through Galatians, and by the way, our Wednesday night service moving back to Sunday here in a couple weeks, so be aware of that. But anytime I fill in on Sunday mornings this summer, I'm preaching through Galatians, and I got to tell you, I've been waiting for verse 16. Like, I've just been starting the book and walking through Galatians, excited for today, and it fell on the day I get to preach Sunday morning, so I am excited. Let's go to the Lord one more time in prayer as we prepare our hearts. Lord, I pray that as we open up the Word, that You would speak to us. That's a big thing to say, to even ask, but Lord, I pray that You speak to our hearts through Your Word, that we would grow into the likeness of Christ. Help me to say things the right way. Help us to listen with the right hearts. In Your name, amen. Bring up to speed on Galatians. Paul's writing this book to confront a heresy that had been plaguing Galatia and other places. The heresy went something like this. If you want to be right with God, that's great. That's great. Here's how you do it. You have to obey the entire law of Moses. That's what you got to do. That's how you are saved, and that's how you are sanctified. But Paul passionately disagrees. I mean, this is heresy, and his life has been dedicated to preaching the gospel, and this is not the gospel. This is not how you are saved. Salvation and sanctification are things that you cannot earn or accomplish. Both salvation and sanctification, growing in Christ's likeness, these are things that God must do in you. The Holy Spirit must do. You know, it's impossible. We talk about this a lot. It is impossible for you as a human to save yourself. You cannot be a good enough person to earn your way into heaven. Only the Holy Spirit of God can take someone who is spiritually dead and make them spiritually alive. That is something beyond your ability to do. So as Paul is, he spent the majority of the book writing, look, we don't earn our salvation by obeying the law. Someone has faith and then the Spirit of God makes them spiritually alive. We get that, but I think sometimes as Christians, the paradigm in our head goes something like this. Yeah, God saves us. When we believe, when we repent and believe, He saves us. And then that whole sanctification thing, that's kind of on me. And so God saves me, but it's up to me to sanctify myself. But Paul is saying this, and really what he's saying in chapter 5 is saying this. You know how impossible it was for you to save yourself? Well, it's equally impossible for you to sanctify yourself. The reason it's impossible for any human to sanctify themselves is because every human, even Christians, live life with a condition that Paul calls the flesh. The flesh. And this is like your inner bent to want to do things your way and not God's way. And here's the deal. Here's the deal. You as a human are not strong enough to control the flesh. Like, I hate to break it to you, but it's not in your ability to control the flesh. Only the Holy Spirit has the power to control the flesh. And so it's futile to have this thought in your mind. Well, yeah, God saves me, but then I sanctify myself. That's, I think, what Paul's getting at back in chapter 3 when he said this. Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? And the answer is no. Only the Holy Spirit has the power to save you, and only the Spirit has the power to sanctify you. And so as you skip down to the end of chapter 5 in your Bible, you see really what Paul's getting at. He says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. In other words, If we are saved, if we are spiritually alive by means of the Spirit, then let us walk, let us fight the flesh by the power of the Spirit. Now we've got to talk about why is it so impossible for humans, why is it impossible for Christians to sanctify ourselves? I mean, we can put a pretty good effort into self-control, can't we? Well, here's the problem. The problem is that we all have this condition of the flesh. Now, last time on a Wednesday night, we talked about the flesh, but it bears repeating here. We got to understand what the flesh is. It's our inner bent to do things our way. The flesh always wants the opposite of what the Holy Spirit wants. It's that inner reflex inside of you that wants to rebel against God. Here's the thing. Let me try and prove it to you that you still have this condition, even as a Christian. Do you, as a Christian, ever walk through life and something happens and anger inside of you just starts to well up inside of you? Like, you didn't go looking for it. It's just, it was there. That ever happened to anybody? Or maybe this. Maybe someone said something to you, hurt you in a way, and inside of you, bitterness started to grow like a weed. Or maybe you've just been walking through life, walking through your day, and all of a sudden you have this craving or this temptation to do what does not honor God. Well, what is that? Like, you didn't go looking for that. It just kind of happened. What is that? Well, that's called the flesh. That's the condition that you have. And so I like to illustrate it like this. Does this happen to anybody else? Every time I go to the grocery store, I get that one shopping cart that veers to the left. Anybody else? You know what I'm talking about? You spend the whole shopping trip kind of doing this thing, trying to get it to go straight. That's the flesh in you. It's just your inner bent to go the other way. And here's the problem. You are incapable of mastering that, of controlling the flesh. Shopping carts, sure. Okay, I'll give you that one. But controlling the flesh? No. No, I mean, let me try and prove this to you. Has anyone in this room come to a point in their life, like show of hands here, where anger never starts to well up inside of them? Anybody attained that yet? Or has anyone in this room come to a place where temptation just never pops up in their life? No, like you're kind of stuck with this condition called the flesh. And so no human can just say, you know what, that whole flesh thing, that whole temptation thing, just be gone. Like you might as well try and stop an avalanche with your bare hands. It just doesn't work. And so that leads to a very real question. Here's the part of the sermon where I'm trying to tell you, here's why you got to listen to the sermon. There's a very real problem that you and I face. How on earth, what hope is there for me to live a godly life if I don't have the strength to control the flesh? That's a very real question. It's a question that, whether you've thought about it in those terms or not, that's a question that as a Christian you face yesterday, you face it today, you're going to face it this afternoon. And that's it. Like, that's a huge question. How do I walk through life not giving in to the cravings of the flesh if I can't control the flesh? There are a lot of different ways that Christians, I think, try to deal with the problem of the flesh, this inner bent to do sin, do things our way. One is to say, no, I've got it. I can have enough self-control. Yeah, I've got an anger problem. I admit that, all right? But I have everything I need inside of me. I just need to summon the inner strength to control my bent to get angry. Someone else might say, I've got a lust problem. I admit that. I got to work on that. But I've got this. I've got the strength in me. I just have to summon enough strength. Listen, summoning enough strength, that may help a little bit, but it doesn't get you all the way. That route does not work because you do not have the strength to control the flesh. There's another error that Christians make when it comes to how do we respond to this problem of the flesh. One problem that we make is that we forget about the power that the Holy Spirit uses on our behalf to control the flesh. I've got this stump in my backyard. We cut down this bush, and the stump has been there for like a year. And I don't have the tool I need to get it out. I don't have a chainsaw big enough to get it out. So I've kind of just given up on it. I mean, we're going on over a year here, and it's just like, it's just there. Now, tools exist that can get this out. Like, I probably have friends I could ask, and they could come over in 10 minutes and get it out. But I don't have what it needs to get rid of it, and now it's been a year. You know, sin can kind of be that way. The Spirit has the power needed to control the flesh, but sometimes we don't really think about that. And maybe you as a Christian, you think, well, my life's not like up in flames or anything. Yeah, there's some sin here and there. But we forget about the power the Spirit has that can help us root out our sin. Now, here's the thing. When Christians make these kinds of errors with regard to the flesh, that really causes a problem. And here's what's so sad. So many Christians can live their life in despair, in hopelessness. Because as they look at their life, they say, I can't control the flesh, and therefore it's hopeless. And so sometimes there are Christians who live in serious despair and hopelessness because it feels like there's just not a path. But my friends, there is a path. There is a way. There is a force that is stronger than the flesh. And that force is a person. And that person is the Holy Spirit of God. And here's, guys, you gotta see, I'm so excited to talk about verse 16 because this is the incredible promise of the Bible. If you will allow Him, the Spirit will control the flesh on your behalf. The guarantee of the Bible, the promise of the Bible, is that if you will allow Him control, if you will walk by means of the Spirit, then you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. So that's what, this is all setting the table before we dive into the text today. But we're all talking about this. How do we not walk according to the flesh? By walking by means of the Spirit. We're going to spend the sermon unpacking, okay, what on earth does that mean? All right. Let's look at our text again. First of all, the first point is this. The Holy Spirit is stronger than the desires of the flesh. Look again at verse 16. It says this. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. So here's the key. Here's kind of just giving you the answer right up front. How do we walk through life by not giving in to the cravings of the flesh? Well, walk by the Spirit. Okay, but what does that mean? We gotta really unpack that. First, what does it mean to walk? That's just the way Paul uses to describe living your daily life. So walk by the Spirit, live your life by the Spirit. I think we can take it a step further here, though. I think since life is by its nature a fight against the flesh, I think we should say it like this. Fight against the flesh by means of the Spirit. That's what he's getting at here. What does it mean to walk by the Spirit? We've got to talk about that word by. What does it mean to walk by the Spirit? I think it's really talking about means or instrument. Walk by means of the Spirit. So you dig a hole by means of a shovel, or you drive to Minneapolis by means of a truck, or you go up a tall building by means of an elevator. Means or instrument is the idea here. And really, verse 25 sheds light on what Paul's saying here. That's really where he's going. He says, if we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. In other words, if we are spiritually alive by means of the Spirit, then let us walk. Let us fight the flesh by means of the Spirit. Listen, you are not spiritually alive by means of your own effort. So you are not sanctified. You don't beat the flesh by means of your own effort. No, instead you have to walk by means of the Spirit. This is so key. This is so key to understanding how do I live my life in a way that's not controlled by the flesh. So, okay, how do I do that? How do I actually go about walking by means of the Spirit? Well, let me tell you what I think the heart of what it means to walk by the Spirit is. Put it like this. The very heart of what we're talking about when we're saying walk by the Spirit is this. Allow the Holy Spirit to control your life. Allow the Holy Spirit to control your life. That's the heart of what Paul's talking about when he says walk by the Spirit. Yield to the Spirit. Give control to the Spirit. Give them the steering wheel of your life. Let me try to explain it like this. If you are a Christian, and this is not, by the way, if you're not a Christian, this doesn't apply to you. But if you are a Christian, here's what's going on inside of you. The Spirit of God is constantly trying to convince you to think a certain way. Every moment, he's trying to get you to act a certain way or to speak a certain way. Moment by moment, the Spirit is leading you. And so walking by the Spirit means giving him the steering wheel and saying, okay, you're trying to get me to go that way. That's the way we're going to go. That's what the idea is here. So really the sum of this, what does it mean? How do I walk by the Spirit? Well, allow the Spirit to control your life. Now, where am I getting that? Well, let me try and prove to you that the heart of what it means to walk by the Spirit is to allow control. See this in two verses. Number one, Ephesians 5:18. Ephesians 5:18 says this, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." This phrase, be filled with the Spirit, I think that gives us a little window into what it means to walk by the Spirit. It's really fascinating what Paul kind of compares what it's like to be filled with the Spirit. He said, don't be drunk with wine. Don't be controlled or under the influence of wine. Instead, you know what you want to be controlled by? You know what you ought to be under the influence of? Be under the influence of the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. So you get the idea, the heart of what we're talking about. What does it mean to walk by the Spirit? It's control. It's giving the Spirit the steering wheel. Here's another verse. This is from our passage this morning. Just two verses later. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. If you're led by the Spirit, I think that's just another way Paul's saying walk by the Spirit. Think about that. Think about what that means to be led by the Spirit. Think of a blind man being led through a busy street by a friend. And he can't see, but his friend can, and his friend says, okay, now this way, oh, step here, come this way. That's what it is to allow yourself to be led. And the Spirit leads us moment by moment. He's saying, no, think this way, act this way, speak this way. By the way, it's the sword of the Spirit is what? It's the Word of God. That's why we have to be knowledgeable about what God says in His Word. That's how He leads us. So here's what we're talking about. When this says, how do I not give in to the cravings of the flesh? I've got to walk by the Spirit. It's saying this, allow the Spirit to control your life. And by the way, I can't think of anything more terrifying. I can't think of anything more terrifying than to say to God, okay, you're the one leading this thing. Wherever you say we go, that's what we're going to do. Whatever I've got to give up, that's what I'm going to give up. Like, that's really, it tests, do you actually trust God? But this is how you walk by the Spirit, and this is how you do not give in to the cravings of the flesh. Someone may well press this point and say, well, listen, I want to submit to the Spirit. I want Him to control my life. I want that, but I can't. I've tried, but I can't. To which I say, you know, in a sense, you cannot yield to God without God. Like, you can't give Him control of your life without His strength. I get that from a couple of places. One, places like this, Philippians 2:13. For it's God who's at work in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Listen, have you ever looked inside your heart and found a desire to please God? I got news for you. That ain't you. Like that's because it's God working in you to will for His good pleasure. So in a sense, you can't even yield to God apart from God. 1 Peter 4:11, let him who serves serve in the strength which God supplies. 1 Corinthians 15:10, by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder. I worked harder than any of them. Though it was not I, but the grace of God, which is with me. So, I worked, but it was the grace of God. But I worked, but it was the grace of God. You see how these go hand in hand. So let me try and sum all of this up. Kind of gives us a picture that we can look at here. How do you not give in to the cravings of the flesh? Well, you walk by the Spirit. And that the Spirit's constantly leading you this way, not that way, this way. And to walk by the Spirit is to say, okay, you have your way. You have the steering wheel. And if you want to do that, you got to call out to God and say, God, you got to help me. You got to help me surrender to you. And here's where things start to get good. Like, here's where it's so incredible. The promise of this verse is that if you will relinquish control to the Spirit, then you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. The Greek goes something like this. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Now, in English, that two negatives lead to a positive, but not in Greek. In Greek, a double negative is just a way of emphasizing the point. So maybe you could say it like this. Walk by the Spirit and you will not. Let me repeat, you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. You hear the emphasis. This is a promise. Guys, you got to see this. You got to see. This is so incredible because this means that the Spirit is stronger than the cravings of the flesh. Do you see how incredible that is? That means that there is no sin in your life that is too strong for the Spirit to pull out. There is no addiction that is too strong for the Holy Spirit to deliver you from. I remember talking to a young man years ago when I was in college, and he was genuinely feeling hopeless in his fight against porn. He truly felt like for him, walking a life that was free of that sin, like he was a lost cause. He really believed that. But listen, can you see that to think like that is to disbelieve the Word of God? That's to look at the Word of God and say, no, that's wrong. And it's not only to do that, but it's to insult the strength of the Spirit. Imagine going up to a guy who's really strong and saying, listen, you're strong, but you can't lift that. It's kind of an insult. And that's what we do when we say, well, God may be strong, the Spirit may be strong, but He can't deliver me from this. No, there's no sin so strong that you cannot, by the Spirit, stop doing. You are not a lost cause just because you've been stuck in your ways for years. You are not a lost cause just because you've fallen and walked in grotesque sin. The Spirit is stronger than any sin and any addiction. Listen, think of it like this. It's impossible for you to save yourself. Like you can't just summon up enough strength to make yourself spiritually alive. That's impossible. But the Spirit can save you. And in a similar sense, it's impossible for you to control your flesh. But the Spirit can control the flesh on your behalf. And this is good news because it means that you are not a lost cause. Word here on addiction while we're at it. I don't want to trivialize the power of addictions or sins. Those can have incredible grip on you. I'm not saying, guys, this is just so simple, it's so easy. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying this. Whatever grip that your sin or your addiction has on you, the Spirit of the living God is stronger. By the way, I think it's important that we say this. Relying on the Spirit, it doesn't mean that it's an outright sin to take medication or to get biblical counsel. There's no sickness that God cannot heal, but that doesn't mean it's an outright sin to take medicine or to get surgery when you need it. God can use the means of medicine. Someone very close to me this summer had a surgery, and they were telling me that the doctor called them and said this. The surgeon said, "I've just really been praying for you all night for your complete healing." Isn't that an amazing view for a doctor to have? Here's a surgeon performing surgery and yet relying on God as the true source of healing. So when we say you've got to walk by the Spirit to not give in to the cravings of the flesh, we're not saying that's a sin to you should refuse any and all medication. Now, listen, are there some people who walk in sin and then they fall into depression And then they say, you know what, I've got to treat this, so I'll take medicine. But it's easier to take the medicine than it is to deal with the sin. Yeah, that kind of thing does happen. Don't go down that route. But the point is this. The point that we're getting at is that the Spirit is stronger. There's no sin so strong that the Holy Spirit cannot root out. Point number two is this. The Christian life is a war zone. The Christian life is a war zone. Listen to verse 17. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. The flesh and the Spirit always want opposite things. In other words, they never agree on what the right thing to do is. I like to think about it like this. Think about a compass and the dial, the needle on the compass. North and south always pointing in opposite directions. That's like what the flesh, your desire to do things your way, and the Holy Spirit, that's what that's like. It's interesting how Paul writes this here. He says the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit. It's almost like, oh, the Spirit wants to do that? Well, then I'm going to want this. That word desire, it's not just, oh yeah, I kind of want something. It's speaking of a strong craving, a longing for something. The word desire doesn't always have negative connotations. It's just that if the flesh has a craving, a longing for something, then it's always longing for something that's forbidden. So that the cravings of the flesh are always categorized as lust. But notice the Spirit has desires as well. The flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit, yet this should be supplied, sets its desire against the flesh. And so this is what your life is like. It's like this tug of war, and you are the rope. The flesh is always pulling you one way, the Spirit's always pulling you a different way. Now, the last phrase of this verse is difficult to interpret, so that you may not do the things that you please. You can open a commentary and get like five different views on this. There are different ways to understand it, but here's how I think this is the most straightforward way. I think Paul is saying this. Since the Spirit longs for one thing and the flesh longs for the exact opposite, no matter what, there will be inside of you a longing that loses out. If you give in to the cravings of the flesh, well then, you won't be doing what the Spirit of God is longing inside of you. And on the other hand, if you walk by the Spirit, then the longing and the cravings of the flesh, they will not be satisfied. So, in a very real sense, normal, godly Christian life includes an element of discomfort. Normal Christian life looks like you having a craving and not satisfying it. Because Paul's saying this, look, you got two opposing desires and you can't walk in two directions at the same time. So one of them is going to go unsatisfied. I think sometimes people have a view on Christian maturity that maybe is a bit off. I think sometimes people think about Christian maturity like this. One day, as I'm a mature Christian, I will no longer have the cravings of the flesh anymore. Now, when you get to heaven, that will be true, but not while you're on earth. See, mature Christianity is not you coming to a place where you're never tempted by anything. Mature Christianity is someone who does in fact experience the desires of the flesh, but they choose to walk by means of the Spirit. They yield to the Spirit. They choose to allow the Spirit to have the steering wheel in their life. And so listen to this. Part of what it is to be a Christian, it's to have an itch and then to walk by the Holy Spirit, and by the Holy Spirit not give in to that craving. But it still itches. That's part of what it is to be a Christian. One way or the other, since the Spirit and flesh want different things, one of your longings will go unfulfilled. And the whole point of this is you gotta walk through life understanding that the nature of this life is a battle against the flesh. Now, some people say, well, I just haven't even felt this tension at all. That's not necessarily a good thing. If you just give in to the desires of the flesh, that may be a sign if you don't feel this tension at all. Now, this said, the more you sin, the more you crave sin. And the more you walk by the Spirit, the less appealing sin becomes. So I think it's true. It's right for us to say sinful desires can and do shrink for a growing Christian, but they never disappear entirely. So it's important for us to go through life noticing this is just how the Christian life is until we get to heaven. I think perhaps this is what Paul's getting at in Romans 7 when he says this: "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of sin and death?" I think he's feeling that tension, and then he gives the answer: thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Christian life is a battlefield, but one side is stronger. And this isn't like a boy, the Spirit's just barely stronger than the flesh. No, no, no. If you will walk by the Spirit is stronger, immensely stronger than the power of the flesh. Maybe you've heard stories of people whose lives were radically transformed. How's that happen? By the power of the Spirit. Point number one, the Spirit's stronger than the flesh. Point number two, the Christian life is a war zone. Point number three is this: the Holy Spirit leads His people. Look at verse 18. It says this: "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Paul here is kind of pointing back to something that has kind of been a hobby horse for him throughout the entire book of Galatians. He's pointing back here to this timeline that he's had in his head throughout the whole book. Paul's been saying this. He's saying, Christians, no, you're not saved, you're not sanctified by obeying the law of Moses, because we're no longer under the law. There was 1,400 years of the law that pointed to Jesus, and then Jesus came. Now, the dividing point in history, the thing that is different between now and then, the age that Christians are in now after Christ, is that the Holy Spirit lives inside of each and every Christian. That's what makes this a day and age different than that day and age. So it's kind of like Paul's saying this: do you want proof? Like, do you need another piece of proof that we're no longer under obligation to keep the whole law of Moses? Well, here's the proof. If you are being led by the Spirit, that's proof that we're in a new day and age. That's proof that we're no longer under the law. And by the way, all Christians, all true Christians, are led by the Spirit. I want you to stop and ponder that incredible thought. That incredible thought that as you go through life, like as you go to work, as you raise kids, you go to school, like as you walk through life, if you're a Christian, the God of the universe knows every decision you're about to make. He knows every thought you're about to think, and He has opinions. And gently, He's leading you. And again, how does He do that? The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. That's amazing to me, that God would love me enough to not give up on me. That God would love me enough for from now until I die to be leading me and calling me to walk a certain way. That speaks to the incredible love and grace of God. I want to spend a little bit of time on application, more time on application than we normally spend. First, I want you to see this. Don't miss the work that the Holy Spirit is doing inside of you. This is an amazing thing that's going on inside of you. This battle against the flesh and the Spirit. The Spirit has an opinion on every single thing you do. And He's trying to lead you in every single moment. Think this way, speak this way, act this way. Don't miss that. You know, these are invisible things. Like, you can't hold the Holy Spirit in your hand. You can't hold the flesh in your hand. These are invisible things, but they are realities nonetheless. Sometimes we forget about this. And I think it's right for us to pause and think, wow, the Spirit of God is going to work inside of me. It's important that we see this. There has never been a moment of your life, there's never been a decision that you've made that the Holy Spirit didn't have an opinion on. So it's important that we see the Spirit fills believers. He leads believers. He produces fruits in believers. He's grieved when we go our own way. It's important that we see that and appreciate that. Second, notice the Christian life is a battle. Like, I just think it's important that we take this and we apply this to our lives, that we realize as I wake up every day, I've got to be ready for battle. Like, as I just do the regular stuff of life, I got to be ready for this battle. Because If you don't know that the battle's going on, how are you going to fight it? So it's important for us to wake up and realize one way or the other, since these two things have desires that are opposed to each other, one of them will lose out. Mature Christians are those, yeah, we experience the desires of the flesh, but we choose to walk by the Spirit. Third, the Spirit is infinitely stronger than the flesh. You guys, listen to this. Do not miss this. I'm so excited to preach Galatians because of this point. There is no such thing as a sin that the Holy Spirit cannot root out. It doesn't exist. And there are Christians, man, there are Christians who walk through life in despair and in hopelessness because they think, I'm just a lost cause. And by the way, this is how Satan wins. Like, that's his thing. He's a deceiver. Like, that's what he's really good at. He tells lies. And so he comes to you and he says, you know what? Maybe there's hope for other people, but not for you. Not for you. You've been walking in this addiction for too long. You've fallen too far. You've had this habit for too many years. That's what Satan does. But I appeal to you, if you're living in that hopelessness, look at this text and believe what it says, that if you will walk by the Spirit, you will not give in to the desires of the flesh. The Spirit has the strength to control the flesh on your behalf. He has the strength to control the flesh. You don't, but He does. Can you see that this promise is for you if you are hopeless and lost in your sin? So if you're a Christian and you've been walking in your sin, don't give up hope. Don't. Listen, sin and addiction are powerful things. I'm not denying that. I'm not saying that this is just easy. Sometimes God sanctifies people over the long haul, over years. I'm not saying that sin and addiction are easy to understand. I'm not saying that. But I am saying this. The Spirit of the living God is stronger. The Spirit of the living God of the universe is strong enough to rescue you from your sin. The Spirit of the living God is strong enough to lead you and fill you and help you to walk in the light. And that should give you hope. So, fourth, walk by means of the Spirit. Live your life by means of the Spirit. Fight against the flesh by means of the Spirit. How do you do that? How do you do that? I think it's when you come to a crossroads, to a temptation, you come to God and you say, God, you pick the way I should go. Help me to choose that. Walking by the Spirit is you being led by the Spirit, influenced by the Spirit. And I think it happens something like this. I think it means you going through life and as you face temptation, coming to God and saying prayers like this. Listen to this. Saying a prayer that says something like, oh God, in my heart there is a craving to sin. I'm just being honest with you. There's a craving to sin and it feels like I cannot say no. So God, would you cause the Holy Spirit to produce in me self-control? Because I can't create my own self-control that's strong enough. And if you don't create it, it won't be there. So God, would you create self-control in me? Or maybe it looks like you praying a prayer like this. Oh God, anger is welling up inside of me right now. My heart wants nothing more than to just get angry. So God, would you cause the Spirit to stop my anger and to produce in me peace? I am not the source of the peace that I need, but you are. And so unless you create peace in my heart, it won't be there. These kinds of prayers, I think, are what it means to walk by the Spirit. These kinds of prayers are what I think it means to come before God and say, God, would you control that which I cannot in my life? And the incredible hope of this text is that if you will do this, if you will allow the Spirit to control your life, if you will walk by the Spirit, then you will not give in to the desires of the flesh. Join me in prayer. Lord, thank you for the good news of the gospel. It's good to be a Christian. Lord, you provide a path for us to live a godly life. So Lord, help us to be a church that lives like this. Help us to be pastors who live like this. Lord, we do not want to give in to the desires of the flesh. We want to walk by the Spirit. So help us. In Christ's name, amen.